I'm going to talk for a minute about the giving. We have envelopes in the back and in the front. If you want to give, we receive money. We don't force money, but we do receive it. Hallelujah. If God speaks to your heart, let's give. As not grudgingly or of necessity, God loves the cheerful giver, right? Amen. And some people said, well, not the tearful giver. No, he doesn't, but he loves the cheerful giver when it comes out of the abundance of our heart. Why are we giving to the Lord? I think motive is everything. There's nothing wrong with being faithful, being consistent. I believe that tithing is a Bible principle. It's in the Bible. The first part belonged to God. You know, we should give to God. We should be giving something to him. Amen. How many know we shouldn't fall under less than what people did under the old covenant? We got a new covenant. We're established on better promises. We love God and we can give as he leads us in his heart. And many times I've found that the Lord has, you know, I mean, if as we either purpose in our heart or he has spoken. You know, if he speaks to your heart, if you prayed, say, Lord, okay. And sometimes he'll challenge you. He's challenged me before. Amen. Many times, many times, many, many, many times. Whatever I had left, that's what I gave. You say, well, how did you make it? We're supposed to be believers. Amen. We're supposed to let faith rise. It doesn't mean that he wants your, you know, if you're struggling, he doesn't want your milk money. He doesn't want the baby's milk money. He doesn't want your electric bill money. Amen. Come on now. It's true. He doesn't. You need to be faithful. Pay the bills. Amen. But what we have, he said, out of what we have, not what we don't have. How many got more than enough? Amen. He said he would cause us to be blessed. He's already blessed us. But here we're not asking you to do that. We're asking you to give out of your heart. Amen. Whatever the Lord places there, say, hey, well, what is it? I got with the Lord. He didn't say anything. But if he did, you know, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good. Follow what he says. Amen. If he didn't say anything, then you look at what you have and purpose in our heart to give. Lord, I'm going to purpose to give into your kingdom. And how many know? I know many of you, you know. Hey, sometimes if you don't have, we can ask him for the money. Have you ever thought about using your faith to receive, to give? I remember one lady talked about it, and she was believing God for $100, and she got her $100. Hallelujah. She was all, oh, I got me $100. And, you know, she testified. I went right out and bought me a brand new pair of shoes. Oh, Lord, what did I do? Oh, Lord, I forgot. I forgot about that, Lord. I had asked you for it. I was going to give it to the kingdom. So, did God get mad? No, God didn't get upset. He didn't even make her take the shoes back. Praise God. She asked for another $100, and guess what? He brought another $100, and this time she was obedient. How many are thankful that God's the God of the second chance? God will help us. He'll train us. Amen. I know one time, I've known several times, you know, I wanted God. I began to study, and I'd been praying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about the gifts when I was growing up, but I began to pray about them. Anybody ever prayed about something? You want God to use you. Amen. God use me. Well, he'll use you. One man said, well, use you. He'll about wear you out. You know, you really get over there and yield your life to him. Amen. Our life. How many know our life belongs to him? Not just our church time, not just our time that we spend with him, but our whole life. Amen. That means when we're working, that means when we're playing all the time, right? Well, I thought you were talking about the offering. Well, I am. The first thing we offer to him is our life. Amen. We offer him everything, don't we? And then when our life belongs to him, then our finances belong to him too. Amen. Glory to God. They had to, you know, there's the one cartoon that I know a lot of you have seen or people have shared. You know, and there's the guy, he's being baptized, and he's under the water, but he's holding his wallet up over the water, you know. Lord, you get all of it, but this is going to be, no, that's not the way it works, does it? All of us belongs to him, amen? And we give him our finance, and so we want to honor God in everything we do, and spend time with Him, seeking Him. You know, we talked about it a few weeks back, you know, that hey, there is a place of walking with Him where we have enough. There's a place where we are giving to Him, but then there's a place of abundance with Him. But how many know it takes little obedience to Him? See, not necessarily just in our giving, but in our life. And when we surrender our life to Him, then abundance begins to come because He learns what? We learn to trust Him and He learns to trust us. You say, well, I know God could trust me. I know. Well, He could trust me with a whole lot of money. He could trust me with millions. I just know it. We'll find out, won't we? See, a lot of times we think we're somewhere we're not. And we believe God, and we should trust Him for more. But as we gain, see, but if we're not honoring Him with what we have now, how's He going to trust us with more? Are we being obedient with the $5 we have today? Are we being obedient with that $100, with that $1,000, with the $10,000, and so forth? See, God is the God of abundance, but He expects us to be obedient to His voice. Amen? And the more obedient we can be, and the more that we listen to Him and lay our life down, then He'll be sure that we're more than taken care of. Amen? It's one thing to have enough. How many know it's good to have enough? Amen? And most of us have enough. We're blessed. We can, you know, keep a light. You know, I mean, it's pretty good. We got a pretty good nation here in Canada. It's pretty good. You know, if you really have to, you know, you could work a job, make it minimum wage, work a little overtime, have a used car, have a little apartment, you know, maybe tight, but you can make it. Amen. How many know that's a blessing? This is a blessed nation. You know, and if you apply yourself, you can go to school in the nighttime and get a little better job and do even more. Amen. Get your own, become the owner. Hallelujah. That's what I was telling somebody the other day. Well, I work here. You know, well, why don't you become an owner? Amen. Well, I have to work a little harder. Amen. That's right. No, God blesses the hand of the diligent. He doesn't bless the hand of the lazy. It's really true. It's a Bible principle. Anyway, hallelujah. All that was good. What were you saying? Well, praise the Lord. We're talking about giving. Amen. Giving our life, but giving our finances to the Lord. And if you have that today, you can give with an envelope in the back. We also have online giving. If you go to the website, familyprayercenter.com, C-N-T-R-E, familyprayercenter.com, and there's a donate button there. It'll take you. It's very simple, very easy. That's just for your convenience. If for those that want to give online, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I used it a couple of times just to make sure it's working. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night, God's speaking to you. Hallelujah. I mean, isn't that wonderful? We can get right on our phone or online somewhere and we'd say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient right now. I hear you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Let's pray. And if you've brought some money or you already gave your money, that's great. We're going to pray over the offering and over you and just believe that God's going to bless us, continue to provide, not just for the church, but for you. You know, we pray for you. We want you blessed. We want you to prosper. Amen. Say, well, I got to give all my money. No, you obey God. Do what He says. Amen. Father, we thank you for the money that's been given today. We thank you for those that could give and those that couldn't give. Father, all that are in the sound of my voice today, I thank you for your blessings upon them. We thank you for jobs, for businesses, for ideas, for wisdom, for grace. Lord, for ability. You said you give us, Lord, divine strength and ability, Father, to prosper, Lord, that we would be blessed, Father. You have placed your blessing upon your people, and we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus, Father. For those that have given, that you multiply back to them, and those that couldn't give, that you multiply to them, that they may be able to give into your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I hope you brought your Bible today. If you didn't bring a Bible, maybe you brought your phones, got your Bible on it, or your pad, or whatever it is these days. Amen. We hear a click, click, and some people turning pages still. I still keep a Bible here that I turn to. I do use my phone sometimes when I'm studying and on my doing my daily reading. I often use my phone. People see me, well, he's on his phone all the time. Praise the Lord. I've got my Bible on there. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We can carry it right with us, right in your hand. It's amazing to me. It just amazes me. Well, glory. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I want us to take a look back. We started something a few weeks ago that each message stands alone, but yet we were talking about the love of God, and we were talking about some of the characteristics of the love of God. And within that, we can see, we know, many people say, well, what's the love of God? Well, we looked over in 1 Corinthians 13, we found out what the love of God really looks like. We're not talking about human love, but what were we talking about? Divine love, right? The love of God. And where was the love of God shed abroad? Where? In our heart, by the Holy Spirit. So down here, right here, everybody point to right here, your inner being. You know, not necessarily just your physical heart, but the inside of us. What is the heart of God? What is the heart of man? That's the spirit of man, isn't it? It's the very deepest nature of us. See, when we talk about the heart of the tree, we're talking about what? The inside part, aren't we? That sap that flows from the very center. You know, and we say, well, that's the heart of that tree. That's the very center of it. That's the very part that brings what? Life. And there is a life on the inside of each one of us, and it's the life of God, the very nature of God, the very love of God. God himself lives on the inside of us. And not only does he love you, but that love can then begin to work in you and through you. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a love that sets us free because it cries out mercy for us. It cries out forgiveness for us. It's a love that is divine that says no matter what you have done in the past or what you're doing right now, God said, I love you, period. He said, my love for you is not going to change. He's not changed his mind. However, how many know each one of us must turn and receive that love? We must decide, okay, God, I'm going to walk in love. And if you're going to walk in the God kind of love, then you're going to have to walk with him. Hallelujah. And we were saying that love, you know, if we look at it in the Amplified in 1 Corinthians 13, he said that love endures long and is patient and kind, never envious, does not boil over with jealousy, is not boastful, or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It does not become rude and unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. But what love, God's love in us, does not insist. Ooh, there's a good one, on its own rights or its own way. I got rights. Yeah, you got rights. You have the real right, once you're born again, to yield yourself to godliness or to sin, either one. You're finally free. See, God set us free, but how many know freedom causes choice? Freedom makes a responsibility. Freedom, yes, it gives you to do whatever you want to do, which means there is something involved. We have a part to play in it, and it is a choice. Amen. Love sets us free, but it sets us free to a responsibility. To responsibility to act righteously, to act godly, to follow after him and to walk with him. And if we're going to walk in love, we're going to endure long and be patient and kind. Yes, it doesn't insist on its own right or its own way. It's not self-seeking. See, God's love is not self-seeking. Then what is it must be? What? Seeking him and seeking others. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Takes no account of the evil done. Doesn't pay attention to a suffered wrong. Hallelujah. How many know that to be true? See, God doesn't sit there above. See, this is the love of God. And that same love's in you and I, but how many know? We have to yield to it. We've got to let it have its way. There is a love that came from heaven that indwelt on the inside of us that is so powerful that men cannot resist. Amen. Many do resist, because how many know if we're resisting God, we're resisting love, aren't we? Because he is love. And today, I want us to continue on, because we've looked at it in different places. We said, yes, love. And the last time we were talking, we said love forgives. One of the first things that Jesus was talking about is that we're to love our enemies, weren't we? Remember that? How are we going to love our enemies? What? Do good? Forgive? Find ways of being kind? Praying for our enemy? How many of you, you know, that's the first one on your list. You pray for your enemy, you know. Sometimes sometimes it gets down our list and we say, well, I'm getting to it. You know, I'm getting to it. But the Bible says what? Pray for those. Our enemy, if you have any. Amen. How many know the devil will see to it sometimes that there are those that maybe they don't care about your great faith, or they become, in a sense, an enemy. Yet they're not really our enemy. We pray, don't we? There are those that don't know God. We pray for them, and some that don't understand. And when we see with the love of God, we say, Lord, I want your eyes for them. I want your heart for that person. And many of us in here at some point in our life, maybe you've been betrayed. You say, well, I got the right not to forgive them. I've got the right to say, well, you don't know what they did to me, and I don't, but God does. And the Bible, we had said, God, that the love of God, last time we were talking about the love of God that forgives. How many know it's not always easy to forgive? Why? Because you're human. You have emotions. Amen. Put your hand right here. You know, touch your arm, right? Our spirit is alive and well. And sometimes our body and our emotions and our mind affect us, don't they? That's where the enemy works, in our emotion. And it can be difficult sometimes to forgive, especially if we've been betrayed by somebody close to us. Amen. Everybody says, well, I've never been there, and I'm sure you haven't, but somebody did you wrong somewhere most of the time. Maybe it was something very simple. Maybe it was something easy to forgive. But sometimes people hold on to things forever. I was sharing here last time. I remember when I was at the airport and I was 4 years old. I can still hear it on the inside of me, because it grated me so wrong, and I thought, I don't ever want to be like that, because of the tone and the expression that this person had. And I remember overhearing her say, the lady, she said, she was talking about her sister. I don't know how I knew that, but she was. And she says, I will never speak to that person again as long as I live. And how many know sometimes with our words, we put ourselves in bondage? But how many know there's hope even for those that put themselves in bondage? Amen? Because forgiveness is available to all. It's available through that blood of Jesus and through the power of God and the life of God and the love of God that moves in when we receive His forgiveness. Amen. But 1 John chapter 3, I said we're going there, and we are. Because I want to talk a little bit more, too, about that. Because many times we hear and we understand, hey, I've got to forgive people. And sometimes, how many know, we don't really forgive God, but we feel like we need to. Anybody ever held anything against God before? You know? And it wasn't His fault. He's perfect, right? How many know that? I've held something, you know. Well, God, you know, you're not doing this for me that I'm not. No. See, it's not a bargain deal. God made a great deal for you and I. He said, I'll forgive you. I've already cleansed you. I've forgiven you of everything. All right. Amen. And we do know that. We need to know that. But God also wants us to forgive not only, see, people, but ourselves. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is forgive ourselves. Anybody up here had guilt in their life? You felt guilty about everything. Maybe mom and daddy got a divorce and you felt guilty about it. You felt like it was your fault. Maybe somebody else in your life, you know, did something or other and you felt guilty because of them. Or maybe somebody said something to you in such a way that made it seem like it's your fault and you felt guilty for doing something good. But 1 John 3 says this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that's good news? Amen. Behold, have you seen? In other words, He's saying, look at the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You're a son or daughter of the living God. You are valuable to Him. His love for you exceeds what our carnal mind can think. Our natural mind. We try to conceive the fullness of the love of God, but it's greater. Do you understand? He not only made the earth for man, He made the entire universe when we look out beyond. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. How many know we've got a heaven here that we look at? You know, we look up, we see the sky. There's a certain amount, in a sense, that's our heaven above us. And then, of course, there's the outer space, and we could say, well, that's part of the heavens, right? Or the heavenlies. And we've got, now we have telescopes and things we can see way beyond out there, and it looks like there are apparently billions of galaxies. Not a few, billions. So there's so much that's been created just for mankind. And God said to him, what did He say? In the beginning, He told them to be fruitful and multiply. Do you think He wants us to just stay on the earth? I think we'd have filled the earth and probably the universe. Amen. Now, you know, I mean, people have got all kinds of ideas about outside here and so forth. I don't personally believe there's anybody anywhere else. God made the heavens and the earth for mankind. I mean, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So, and you know, if God's going to destroy everything and make a new one, I don't think He would kill anybody else for the sake of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't destroy living things for the sake of one kind. It's not his nature. He's a nature of love. But anyway, beyond that, we have so much that he's given us. It says here, and that we behold that, the nature of his love, that the Father, we would be called the sons or the children of God, his child, his beloved, his one that he has chosen before the foundation of the world to be called to be part of himself, to be born into a family and where God is the center. He is our Father, and he is filled with that love. And he says, I choose to fill my creation with my love, those that I've called to be born again. And he's chosen mankind, the center of all that he created. He said, I formed man in my image. Why? He desired companionship, and he desired to be one with us and for us to be one with him from the beginning. Now, we've talked about how far man fell in the past, haven't we? We've talked about the fall of man being so drastic that it's difficult for us where we live now. See, it's hard for us to understand because none of us, at least at this point, our body was not clothed in the glory of God. We didn't have a perfect body. But Adam and Eve fell from perfection. They fell from a place where even their body was filled with the glory of God, was covered with the glory. They came far, but we are now moving back into a relationship with God. So we're coming from the other end where sin has come down so far, and their remembrance when they fell was that of the relationship with God, walking with God in the cool of the day. I mean, they didn't immediately die physically, obviously. There was not an immediate physical death. But there was an immediate, what, separation and spiritual death from heaven, from God. The sin nature entered into man, and man continually grew worse and continued to move into sin. And so much so now when we receive righteousness, don't we? We have to receive the gift that God gave of that righteousness and the love of God, which moves into man and begins to set us free from that sin, and we begin to understand more and more of the nature and glory of God. So we're still growing and maturing and moving forward into all that God really created us to be. Because we didn't start out in a place of glory. We started out in a place of sin, a place of deficiency, a place separated from God, but now we enter in. And so we're continually discovering all these things that God has made within us. And one of those things is what? The very nature and love of God that moved inside. That love begins to dictate to us if we'll yield over to it. You say, well, it's the God kind of love. It's a love that doesn't compare to human love. Human love, yeah, there's a certain amount of love. Every human, how many know humans have love for their children? Even the worst of them still care about their kids. Not that they're, you know, they may not have the love of God toward them, but they have a care. They have a human love toward them. But how many know, even with that, human love is somewhat selfish? Amen. Well, I want the best because that's my child. I'm telling you, they're great. And they are, praise the Lord. And we should feel that way. Amen. Amen. They're part of what God created through you and who you have jurisdiction over and who you are training and who you have raised. And it is an offspring. And the way we feel toward them is somewhat the way God feels of us. We're his children. We're his child. See, these are all things what the Bible calls, ways. They're ways in which we relate to God. We can understand him, what, as Father. We can understand him because we are his sons and daughters. We understand him in that way. Yet he is greater still. Because the Bible says, how many know the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways. They are greater than us. And we are constantly, there's no end to him. There's no end to him. Amen. I mean, you know, there's no end to the greatness of God and to the goodness of God and to the faithfulness of God. You say, well, I've gone to, now we found it. You know, and sometimes we are not understanding to the fullness. We have to allow that love to dictate to our spirit now. What, behold, what manner of love that God has what? Bestowed upon us. That means God loves me. Everybody say, God loves me. Amen. I believe you love me, Lord, and I receive your love. And for some of you, that's difficult. You say, well, was that ever difficult for you, Pastor Doug? From time to time. From time to time in my life, it has been in times past anyway. And that's where I learned. I had to learn to let God love me. Because how many know? We can know in our mind, God forgives me. We can know in our mind, God loves me. But how many know it's different when it's in your mind and in your heart? See, we've got to get the Word of God, the truth of God's Word from right here, down here, to our heart, to our spirit, where it is alive and it is real on the inside of us. You know, we can experience, that was Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, wasn't it? What was his prayer? Let's look over there in Ephesians 3. We need to look at this. He said, behold, take a look at the love of God that's in your heart. It's been shed abroad in us. Hallelujah. Galatians, Ephesians, amen. Chapter 3, Paul's prayer. Now, some of you have prayed this regularly. Some of you haven't. But this is a great prayer to pray regularly, even over your own self. So, well, I'm not sure if I know God loves me or not, or maybe I'm dealing with it and I say I'm having a hard time letting God love me. Well, here's a great prayer that will help you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, we see in that very first verse, he's seeing God as what? Father. God is our Father. Amen. So, well, that's a pretty important point, I would say. That's why I paused there for a minute, because sometimes we say, hey, Paul is saying, I bow my knees to our Father. And here we just read in 1 John, behold, what manner of love that the Father is what had for you and I, that we would be called his children, his child. So Paul's recognizing here that God is our Father and we are his children. He says, I bow my knees to you, Father. I'm asking you, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, how many want to be strengthened with might? Amen. In the inner man, in your spiritual man. By the Spirit of Christ that's in you, you want to be strengthened with might. Paul is praying this for the Ephesian church. How many know the Ephesians were saved? The Ephesian church was probably one of the most mature churches that Paul had written to. More mature than most. And he was writing to them as a Spirit-filled people. He said, I'm praying for you that God would grant you according what? To the riches of his glory, the very love of God, the life of God that's been shed abroad in your heart, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in that inward part of us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being what? Rooted and grounded in something, in love. How many know? See, the love of God will root you and ground you. You'll be so grounded because if you can know that God loves me, amen. Sometimes when all the chips are down, when it looks like nothing's going my way, God loves me. Amen. God is good and God loves me. My Father loves me. Anybody ever had that, you know, you ever sung that song or heard that phrase, there's no place like home. Amen. No place like home. And when we have all struggle, we have a Father that receives us. And we can go to Him at any time because there's no place like home, and that love roots us and grounds us. Amen. We can be rooted and grounded in love. He said, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. I pray for you, he's saying, that you would comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo, glory. I'm telling you, when we can understand who we really are, the loved child of a loved God, that His love that He has for each one of us, His complete forgiveness for you, His completeness that He made us in Him, that He created you in true righteousness and holiness. Not the righteousness that we did, but the righteousness that Christ did. Amen. And to know the love of Christ, what that passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he says, now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now here, Paul was praying, and as he prayed, of course, he bowed his knees, we said, to the Father, and talks about this Father of the family, God himself. And he is saying, Lord, now if you can take the word of God here, and we can place our name in there, begin to personalize, how many know it's good to personalize the word of God? And here we can say that God would grant, Father, that you would grant to me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened, Lord, with might. Hallelujah. According to the riches of his glory. How many know the riches of his glory? Do you know what that is? That's all that he is. Amen. The glory of God is all that God is. All that he is to you and I. That will be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now, we talked about that a little bit last week, being strengthened, being built up in our inner man. What? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one way we are, but it's also one way that we begin to receive. He says, being strengthened. He also talked here, what? By his spirit in the inner man. Now, if it's going to be by the Spirit of God, then that spirit's going to have to receive something. And when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, we talked about last week, in what? Keeping ourselves what? In the love of God. Part of praying in the Holy Ghost is going to keep you in that love and bring you the understanding and the revelation of the fullness of that love. God's love what? In us, to you, and then what? Through you. Amen. How many know you got to have something before you can give it away? Amen. And sometimes we can know in our mind we got love, but how many know when it's in our heart in abundance, when we begin to understand God loves me, God forgives me, God released me of my past, God set me free, God holds nothing against me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus. And if you've received him, then you are in him. Amen. And we're beginning to be strengthened with might by his spirit in that inward man, in the spirit man where what? The love of God was shed abroad. Amen. Hallelujah. That love is there, but how many know that we have to stir it up? It doesn't automatically flow out of you. You know, you can have things on the inside of you. You can have healing in your body and it not be manifest Healing power can go into you. Well, what happened? Well, I had people lay hands on me. Healing power went in, but how come it's not doing anything? We've got to ignite it with our faith. How many know it takes faith? Faith works by that love, but also love has to be operated by faith. Faith, it takes faith to do anything with God. Do you understand that? He said, without faith, it is possible to please God. So by faith, I take him for what he has said. That he has what? Forgiven all of my sin as far as the east is from the west. Has he forgiven you or has he not? How many know that God had a fail-proof plan put into place for you and I? That if, he said, if we happen to sin, if we happen to miss the mark, if we happen to make that mistake, we can run to 1 John 1:9, confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Why? Because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. He is the propitiation, or the one that paid the price, the atonement for all sin. In other words, he gave the price not just for man. It said what? For us and also for the world. He made a distinction. There's forgiveness for you and I, but also for the entire world, if they'll turn and come to him. Hallelujah. There's good news in the book for you and I. God loves you. He said, oh my goodness, brother, you tell me something. I knew that before I came, but how am I going to get this love operating in me and through me? He said here that he would grant according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Amen. And if we get the Spirit, our spirit operating, we get it moving. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We worship God. We spend time with our Father. We spend time seeking him, reading his love letter to you and I, which tells us, behold, what manner of love our Father has bestowed upon you that you'd be called his child. Oh, I'm his child. I'm his son. He has chosen me. He has accepted me. It was according to his good pleasure to accept you, to make you his own. Whoo, I'm telling you, this is good news in the house today. You're not shouting as good as it is. Hallelujah. But that's okay. Down on the inside, think about it. Sometimes we need to meditate it on a little bit, don't we? Because when it becomes real on the inside of us, my Father forgives me. My Father has loved me. I am free. My past is gone. Now I'm a new man. I've been made in the image of my Father God. He changed me. Not my Father John. See, my father was John, my earthly father. That was John. I'm the son in my body of John. Amen. Jesus was the Son of God in his spirit, but in his body too. Amen. Hallelujah. But there was a body prepared for him, for Mary. But anyway, praise the Lord. I may be the Son of God. I'm the Son of God in my spiritual man. I was born of him, and so were you. He said, you must be born again or born from above. In other words, God comes and changes you on the inside and makes you his very own. And if you become the Son of the living God, the love of God begins to move out. It moves in, and what? It moves out everything that's not of him. Righteousness, holiness moves in because it's part of who the love of God is on the inside of you. And you say, well, I want to understand that love. I want to let it flow in me. Then begin to spend some time with him, praying in other tongues on purpose, because it begins to build you up on your most holy faith and into the very love of God. Now, some people say, well, it said over there in 1 Corinthians 13, where you were talking about earlier, Pastor Doug, those first few verses says, even though I have the love, it will, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, if I don't have love, what it is, I'm a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, even if I pray in tongues. No, If you pray in tongues, it's going to move you into the very love of God that he's talking about later in the chapter. Yes, you can do that. But if it doesn't move you into the love of God, then you would be as tinkling brass. See, there are things that we have to do. We begin to pray in other tongues. And yeah, just because you do doesn't mean the love of God's there. But if you'll use what God has given you, it will build you up into that love to such a degree, no man can stop you. You will be unstoppable. Why? Because God's love sets you free. See, the freedom comes first here on the inside, and then it comes to the outside. The first freedoms that we receive have to come from the inside. All permanent change starts from within. It starts in here. And when our heart begins to be built up, our heart is built up in the love of God, in these riches of His glory. We are strengthened with might in our spirit in the inner man. That Christ, what dwells in our heart, what by faith? Why? Because we begin to understand something. We begin to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the light, and depth. The height and depth, of the love of God. The length and the breadth, the depth of it, the width of it, the height of it. It is so high, we can't measure it. It is so wide, there is no end. It is as far as the east is from the west, the love of God that's been shed abroad. It is deep and it is high and it is wide and it is full of power. Because God's love has no end. It hasn't a stopping place. And when He sees you, He says, I love with an everlasting love. It's what He said in Isaiah. Hallelujah. Amen. He blots out our sin. He forgave it. We have to learn to forgive ourselves and to let it go. And the way we do that, number one, is to know His love, to know this love, which passes knowledge. Oh, how about that? It passes understanding. It passes what we think with our mind. It goes beyond into our very inner being. Because how many know sometimes our mind wants to tell us something different? And how many know we have to take authority over our thoughts and let the truth of God's word become real in our heart? Amen? All right. Praise God. Well, we're moving forward slowly, but we're moving. Hallelujah. But the love of God will abound, and we can know that. We can comprehend that love and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, verse 19, which is where we are, that we might be filled to the fullness of God. Hallelujah. How many know that if you have the love of God, the fullness of God, the fullness of His love that dwells in you, you got the fullness of all He is. Amen. It'll work for you. There's a fullness that comes to you from the love of God. That we might have all the fullness of God. In other words, we might say the glory of God. Because He said that that He would grant according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened. How many understand? See, the glory of God is all that God is. It's all that He is, the allness of the muchness that God is. You say, well, what does that mean? That means that there's nothing left. When He comes, how many know when He came in His glory under the Old Testament? The house was filled with what? The glory of God. The cloud of God would move in. And they could not stand even physically to minister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we got about 5 minutes here. But are we understanding? Are we seeing? It says here, to know that love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. And if you can take these scriptures, you can begin to pray them over yourself. How many know if you pray the Word of God over yourself, how many believe you're going to get a God answer? Amen. You're going to end up knowing these things. You're going to end up being strengthened with all power and might in the inner man. And He says here, to Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, what kind of power is working in you? The love of God, amen, which is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And when we begin to spend time with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, worshiping God, meditating the Word of God, that power works in us. Hallelujah. According to what? What we allow to work in us. Are you allowing the power of God, the presence of God, the life of God to work in you? Oh, boy, now we're meddling, right? Say, well, I've got something to do with it. You sure do. You can work with God. God doesn't work alone. He has chosen man to work with. Well, I don't like that. Well, okay. You get to work with him. He has chosen you to be part of the family. Amen. And as you work with him, then the understanding, as we allow him to work in us, giving him permission. See, that's what one thing, you know, what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, when you, Brother Doug, are spending time praying in other tongues, you're giving your life to me. I said, I am? He said, yes. You're giving me permission to perform my perfect will in you. You are giving me with your words to create what I've called you to do and be. You're giving me your life. You're saying, I surrender, because God does not force anyone. He never has, and he never will. But he began to say, this is a way in which we can give our lives to him, surrender our will to him, and begin to pray out his perfect will for our life. And part of that is into, yes, the fullness of God, and to him working in us exceeding abundantly, amen, to his glory, and to understanding the very life and love of God that's been shed abroad in us. So, well, I don't really understand it to its fullness, no. But how many know the Holy Spirit is our teacher? He guides us into that truth. And we can begin to see, hey, my Father loves me. My Father forgives me. And sometimes the hardest thing that we do is to forgive oneself, amen? Now, how many know Paul had that trouble? He was one of the persecutors of the church. Saul, I should say. First it was Saul, right? Later he became, he changed his name to Paul. He didn't want to keep being known as Saul for whatever reason. He became Paul. Paul the Apostle. But he didn't start out that way. He started out persecuting the church. He was having people arrested. He was having them put in jail. He was having them murdered in the name of God, thinking he was doing the right thing. He wasn't saved. He was following a death nature. Yeah, he was religious, but how many know religion will kill you? Amen. But he found out. He met the Master. He met Jesus, right? And he had to decide, I'm going to forgive myself for the things that God has forgiven me for. I'm not going to let guilt and shame dictate to my life, because I'm going to receive his forgiveness. I'm going to receive the fullness of his love. I'm going to allow him to love me. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I'll pray, I'll seek you, I'll let you love me, I'll let the revelation, I'll believe that you love me, Father. Because that's what you have said. Above what? Sometimes even knowledge. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is important. People perish for a lack of knowledge. But the Bible says his love even surpasses knowledge. Why? Because it comes and it heals the broken heart. It sets us free. It brings a grace and a liberty that nothing else can. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.